We have a lot to get ourselves ready for and ready with. So let's jump right in. I want to start with a couple of questions that some may be old, some may be new, but as we're going to learn today, it's important to approach things with a fresh eye. And I'll begin with a couple of questions. First of all, Chanukah is totally different than any other Jewish holiday in the way that it falls out in the calendar. When are most of our holidays? Like, where in the month does a holiday usually fall out? So you have your holidays that fall out at the beginning of a month. You have your Rosh Hashanahs, your Yom Kippurs, your Shavuos, the first part of the month. We have our holidays that fall out sort of in the middle of the month. You have your Pesach and your Sukkot and your Purim. Chanukah is different in that Chanukah falls out at the end of the month. And more than that, perhaps even more unusual and even more interesting, is the fact that Chanukah is the only Jewish holiday that actually spans 2 months. It's in Kislev and it's in Teves. And I think that's so fascinating, that's so unusual, that we don't find that by any other holiday. And the question is why? How does that help us to understand something about the essence of Chanukah itself? That's question number one. Question number two, we know the Gemara has a discussion about how to light the menorah. Obviously, the most basic, simple fulfillment of the mitzvah is to light a single candle, which sounds so foreign to us. No one does. I've never met anyone in the world who lit, you know, ner ish ubeso, who lit a single candle each night. Obviously, if a person is stuck and you don't have anything else, you can fulfill the basic mitzvah with a single candle. But of course, we strive not only for mahadrin, but mahadrin mina mahadrin. And mahadrin mina mahadrin is a debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Should we light 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, that's Beis Shammai? Or should we light 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, that's Beis Hillel? And of course, the minhag of the Jewish people is to go all in on Chanukah, to give it our all, and we follow the practice of Beis Hillel 1 to 8. 1 the first night, 2 the second night. And Beis Hillel explains its opinion, the yeshiva of Hillel, Beit Hillel, explains their opinion, Malin Bekodesh Ve'ein Moridin. What is the reason we go from 1 to 8? Well, we're always looking to increase our holiness. Ma'alin b'kodesh, we go up in holiness. Ve'ein moridin, and we don't go down. It's interesting, that's usually not something that you have to do. Usually the rule of ma'alin b'kodesh ve'ein moridin is that if you want to exchange something for something else, you have to upgrade, you can't downgrade. So for example, if I was once a Kohen Gadol, I can't go back to being a regular Kohen. If I have a scroll of Navi, I could sell it to go up to buy a Sefer Torah, but I can't sell a Sefer Torah to buy a scroll of Nevi'im. So when I choose to exchange my situation, whether it's my status as a Jew or a possession that I own, we seek to increase holiness. But here Beis Hillel is saying there's a rule, there's a halacha, that on Chanukah we have to increase holiness. Malin b'kodesh, we almost forced the Jewish people to increase 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That in fact is the halacha. And what is it about Chanukah that sort of mandates, that demands of us that we increase our holiness? And lastly, a question from the famous Gemara that tells the story of Chanukah in source number 1. Kishenechnesu yavanim lehechal. Of course, when the Syrian Greeks entered the Beis HaMikdash, they defiled all the oil, and the brave Chashmonaim fought back. And they searched, and they searched, and they found a single pach echad shel shemen, shayamunach bechosmo shel kohen gadol. They found a single flask of oil that had upon it the seal of the kohen gadol. Beautiful. You would think it's the highest standard of kashrus, the seal of the kohen gadol. My friends, you know what the problem is? The great Rabbi Akiva Eger, who wrote little notes on the side of the Gemara, the Gilyon HaShas, Rabbi Akiva Eger, one of the greatest Talmudic minds of the 18th century, he says, it's very sweet and nice that this had the stamp of the Kohen Gadol, but guess what? The Kohen Gadol was not in charge of stamping oil. That's not his job description. The Kohen Gadol was not responsible for the kashrus, for the standards, for the upkeep, and for the packaging of the oil in the Beis HaMikdash. There was a room in the Beis HaMikdash, which the Rambam describes, called the Lishchas Beis Shmanya, the oil chamber. Who worked there? I don't know. Regular Kohanim, regular people, not the Kohen Gadol. So how did it happen to be that this particular jar had the seal of the Kohen Gadol? It's very unusual that such a jar would even exist. And why specifically on Chanukah did the miracle come about from the jar of oil that had the seal of the Kohen Gadol? Okay, so these are three opening questions. Again, why does Chanukah span not only 1 month, but 2 months? Why is it that Beis Hillel insists Malin V'Kodesh V'Ein Moridin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? And what was it about this miraculous jar of oil that it had the seal of the Kohen Gadol? Something about the Kohen Gadol almost, you know, motivated the oil to last beyond its natural capacity. And the answer to all three questions, I guess if you could say it in a single word, and it's a word that's in the title of today's shiur, is the word chidush, chidush. Renewal, newness, novelty, freshness. The nature of Chanukah, the Yom Tov of Chanukah, is a Yom Tov that celebrates freshness, newness, hischadshus, renewal in Avodas Hashem. If you were to describe Yavan, the evil Greeks, in a single word, Chazal picked the word choshech, darkness. What is the nature of darkness? You walk into a dark room. It could be that there's a lot of people in there, and they're all very different. They're all unique, interesting, different people. Or maybe you walk into a room that's filled with books, and each book is a different topic, filled with all sorts of different types of knowledge. And yet, in the darkness, everything looks the same. People look the same. Things look the same. In darkness, it's hard to differentiate what makes something unique, what makes something different, what makes something new. Everything converges into kind of this oneness in the dark. And on Chanukah, we're trying to overcome that darkness of the Greeks and enter into a world of chiddush, a world of freshness, of newness, of light. Rav Moshe Wolfson Shlita, in his Sefer Emunas Itecha, a great Rav, one of the great Torah minds here in America, Baruch Hashem, Rav Wolfson is not a young man, but Baruch Hashem, he's alive and well, an amazing voice of Torah. So Rav Wolfson explains in his Sefer, in his writings on Chanukah, Chochmas Yevanis Nikra Choshech. Our sages tell us, in describing the beginning of time, God created the world, and the world was Tohu and Bohu and Choshech. Corresponding to the third exile of Jewish history, Yavan is Choshech, is darkness. V'lachein b'chanukah, when there was a victory of the light of Torah, to drive away the darkness of Yavan, Nisgala or Chochmas v'chidushe ha-Torah, Zel u'mazeh. There was a rebirth, a renewal of Torah, new ideas in Torah, specifically Torah Sheba'al Peh, as we'll talk about, because that's the part of Torah that's ever evolving, where we can add our two cents, where we can have our own chidushim, our own ideas. And therefore, corresponding to the darkness that makes everything look the same, the victory of Chanukah is a move towards renewal, a move towards advancing. And therefore, says Rav Moshe Wolfson, as he often does, B'derech Remez, a gematria, Choshech, as spelled in the Torah without a vav, Ches, Shin, Chaf, is the same gematria as the word chidush, as the word chiddush. Because it's zel u'mazeh, it's one opposite the other. They're opposite kochos. There's a koach of choshech to darken the world, and there's a power of chiddush to keep the world fresh and exciting, in a constant state of renewal. So why is it, in answer to question number one, why is it that Chanukah takes place not only in 1 month, but so to speak, has to take place in 2 months? Because that's the very nature of Chanukah. It's in a constant state of expansion. It's always looking to expand the borders. It wants to spill over from the world of Kislev into the world of Teves. Why is it, in answer to question two, that Beis Hillel says it's not enough that if you want to increase the light, but no, we almost insist, and it's become mainstream in terms of Jewish practice, to increase the light every single night. Ma'alin v'kodesh v'ein moridin. Because my friends, that's again, that's part of the victory, to be mosif v'holich, to have a growth mindset, to be a person who's always renewing and always rededicating and always finding ways to be in a state of growth and expansiveness. And what about the oil of the Kohen Gadol? What does this have to do with the fact that the oil that they found had the seal of the Kohen Gadol? So let me share with you a beautiful comment from the Sfas Emes. But before I do that, let me tell you a little story about the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes was the Ger Rebbe, the second Ger Rebbe. He was raised by his grandfather, the first Ger Rebbe, for the most part. His own father passed away when he was young. And the Chiddush HaRim, the first Ger Rebbe, was once visited by the Sanza Rebbe, the Divrei Chaim of Sanz. And they sat together, and Shirim hosted him. He brought out a delicious meal. He honored him with luxuries, and they were sharing Torah. And at the end of the meal, the Chiddush HaRim turned to his distinguished guest, who was visiting him in Warsaw at the time, the Divrei Chaim, and he says, I want to honor you with something. Honor me? You've already honored me so much. You hosted me in your home. You shared me this lavish meal. You shared so many beautiful Divrei Torah. He says, I want to show you a chiddush that I know is going to give you great pleasure. Okay, so he's going to take him into his study. He's going to pull out a sefer that he's never seen before, show him a novel Torah site. He goes into the back room, and in the back room is a small girl with a young child, with a baby. And he points to the child, and it was his grandson, the Sfas Emes, and he says, this is the Chiddush that I wanted to show you. My grandson, he's going to be a Chiddush. He's going to renew the world. He's going to think differently. He's going to redefine the way Jews serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth is, the Sfas Emes, if you read his writings, it's so fresh. It's different. It's so inspiring. The Sfas Emes grew up to be that Chiddush. He was a soul from a different generation. The Sfas Emes passed away in the early 1900s. But the Avnei Nezer, the Sokachava Rebbe, said that he had two bookcases. He had one bookcase that had the Svarim written by the Rishonim, prior to the 1500s, let's say. And then he had a second bookcase of the later authorities. And he kept the writings of the Sfas Emes on the bookcase with the older Svarim. Because he said he was an old soul. He was from a different time. He was on a level that was beyond the times. So the Sfas Emes explains to us, in Parsha Sav, something about the Kohen Gadol, which I think will help us to understand why it is that this jar had the seal of the Kohen Gadol. When a Kohen becomes a Kohen, when he begins his avodah, when he starts to serve in the Beis HaMikdash for the first time, the Torah tells us in Parsha Sav, he brings an inauguration karban. He brings a special minchas chinuch, Chinuch, celebrating the fact that, wow, now I finally get to work in the Beis HaMikdash. You know who brings a Minchas Chinuch, essentially the same karban, every single day of his service in the Beis HaMikdash? The Kohen Gadol. What a regular Kohen brings one time as he begins his service in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol brings the equivalent karban every single day. It's called the Minchas Chavitin. And the Sfas Emes says, why is that? So he writes in source number 3, the Minchas Chavitin that is called the Minchas Chinuch, that is brought by the regular Kohen, as he begins his avodah for the first time, he's so excited, wow, I get to be a Kohen, I finally get to work in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen Gadol is makriv b'chol yom. The Kohen Gadol brings the same karban every single day. V'nira ki ha-Kohen Gadol mischadesh b'chol yom. Because the Kohen Gadol is the representative of Klal Yisrael to represent what that newness, that freshness. The Kohen Gadol shows up to work every day with an excitement as if it's his first day on the job. You see, there's a danger of becoming complacent about anything. Even working in the Beis HaMikdash can get old if you don't have the right attitude. What happened on Chanukah? Why is it that the Beis HaMikdash was nearly taken away? Thank God we fought back, we cleaned up, we renewed. Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis, we got our act together. We fixed up the damage of the Avanim. But what was happening? From a spiritual level, why was Hashem considering taking away the Beis HaMikdash from us? And you know what the answer is? The Bach, the Bayis Chadash, tells us in source number 4, in his writings in Halacha, the Bach says, "Bechanukah iker ha-gezeira ha-isa al shehisrashlu ba-avoda." You know why Hashem wasn't happy with us? Because we were taking the Avodas Beis HaMikdash for granted. People had become complacent about the opportunity to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, the seal of the Kohen Gadol is the seal of what? Of a Jew who lives with a constant sense of his chachos. A Jew who never takes his Yiddishkeit for granted. The Kohen Gadol who brings an inauguration offering, a Minchas Chvitin, every single day of his service in the Beis HaMikdash. Not to become numb. Not to become complacent. There was a great Jew, Rav Yechiel Michal Tikhachinsky. Anyone recognize that name? He passed away in 1955. Came to Eretz Yisrael when he was about 10 years old. He wrote many, many Svarim, the Gesher HaChaim. He wrote the Luach Eretz Yisrael that was published yearly. He writes in the third section of his Sefer, which he talks more matters of Machshava, talks about the meaning of life, the purpose of life, the afterlife, Tchiyas HaMesim. He talks about a friend of his, a doctor, who was called to the battlefront during World War I. And he came back to Eretz Yisrael in 1918, this well-known doctor from Yerushalayim. And Rabbi Yechiel Michal Tikhachinsky asked him, he said, what was it like? Describe the experience on the battlefield. When you were lying in a trench with bullets whizzing over your head, what was it like to live in a situation where your life was literally hanging in the balance? And the doctor said something to him, which is shockingly true, and unfortunately a little bit too human of us. He told Rav Tikhachinsky, he said, I was in some of the fiercest battles. I was on the front lines at times during the war. And he said, I remember the first time I was in a dangerous situation. I ducked into a trench, and literally bullets flying over my head. And I was so scared for my life, I said Vidoy. I screamed out Shema Yisrael. I was saying Vidoy under my breath, Ashanu Baganu. I thought any minute my life could come to an end. And I was so scared, I said Vidoy with such emotion, with such trembling. He said, you know what happened the second time I was in a dangerous situation? I threw myself into the trench and I started to mumble some tefillos under my breath, but I wasn't as scared. By the third time, by the fourth time, there were people being killed all around me. But I had gotten used to it to the point that I wasn't even scared. I took it for granted that, well, if I didn't get hit by a bullet last time, I didn't get hit by a bullet the time before that, I probably, and there were people dying all around him. And he said, I got used to living in that type of situation. So the reality is, as human beings, we can become used to anything. We unfortunately can become complacent about anything. Whether it's a tremendous positive opportunity, like working in the Beis HaMikdash, a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, or whether it's the dangers of the world, we become, it's natural for human beings to grow old. And therefore our job as Jews is to live with a sense of ischachus. And that's the question we ask ourselves on Chanukah. Am I living a life of chiddush? Or am I living a life of choshech? Is my life one that is constantly in the light of Torah and mitzvos? Am I growing? Am I inspired? Am I trying to renew my relationship with Hashem? Am I trying to renew my relationship with others? Am I trying to daven different than I did yesterday? To say a bracha with a little bit more kavana? To spend a few more minutes studying Torah? To be a little more creative in my chesed? Am I a Jew who thinks in the way of chiddush? Or have I succumbed to sort of the coldness and the darkness of the Choshech of Yavan? That's the question a Jew asks himself or herself on Chanukah. There was a young man who grew up in Sweden in an irreligious home. He became inspired. Somehow he reconnected with his Judaism, came to Eretz Yisrael, and enrolled himself in yeshiva. And he was studying in the Bar Yaakov yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And it was remarkable to see the way that he was growing in his Avodas Hashem. Many of the other young men who were learning in the yeshiva, who had grown up as frum Jews, who had come from nice, frum Jewish homes, were not progressing in their learning the way that this Baal Tshuva was growing in his Avodas Hashem. And the Bacharim in yeshiva couldn't wrap their heads around it. Like, what's the secret to this guy's success? He wasn't a genius. He was a regular person, but there was something about the way he was growing that was just different. So they came to the great Mashgiach of the Bar Yaakov yeshiva, of Shlomo Volbi, the author of the Alei Shor. And they said, Rebbe, how does he do it? This guy, he came from Sweden. He grew up with nothing. And we feel like in a short period of time, he's already surpassed us in his learning, in his davening, in his Avodas Hashem. How does he do it? We're crawling along, and this guy's flying. So Rav Volbi was a very insightful person. Rav Volbi said, you know, I have some thoughts, but don't ask me, go ask him. Ask the young man from Sweden. What's your secret? How do you do it? So they asked him, his friends asked him. And he said to them the following. He said, you know, every person is in some degree of captivity. We're all held back by different things. He said, what was my prison? My prison growing up is that I was growing up in an irreligious home. My prison was that I had no exposure to Shabbos, to Kashrus, to Torah. That's what held me back all these years. Somehow, Baruch Hashem, I was able to find a path of Torah, and I was able to free myself from that captivity. And I feel very thankful for that. But that was my captivity. That was my prison. He turned to these other young men who had grown up in religious homes, had been in yeshiva for many years, and he says, your captivity, your prison is the fact that you grew up doing mitzvos, and you do everything by rote. That's your prison. Like the Navi Yeshayah said, mitzvos anashim melumada, to do things robotically. He says, that's what's holding you back. You take everything for granted. For me, everything's fresh and exciting. Shabbos is new. Learning Torah is new. Davening is new. Everything's new. The holidays are new. You're used to it, and you don't appreciate it. And then he said to them, and I imagine it hurt a lot to hear it, but it was a very deeply true statement. He said, it seems to me that it was easier for me to leave my captivity than it is for you to leave your captivity. It was easier for me to pick up and change my life, to come from Sweden to Eretz Yisrael, than for a young man growing up in a religious home in Israel to actually live Judaism in a fresh way. And the Kohen Gadol, again, as the centerpiece, the one who marked the oil of Chanukah. Why it was marked with his seal, I don't know, but the lesson certainly for us is that Chanukah is the Yom Tov of the Kohen Gadol, the Jew who lives with his chachus. That's in many ways the essence of Chanukah. What was the first mitzvah that the Jewish people were given as a people? Where does it begin for us collectively? Where does it begin on our way out of Mitzrayim? HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. The first mitzvah that Hashem gave collectively to the Jewish people is HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. I want you to be in charge of being Mekadesh and Mechadesh, to sanctify and to renew time. I want you to look at the moon, which is constantly waxing and waning, and I want you to decide when it's Rosh Chodesh. That's the beginning of our story. What's the last mitzvah that we were given? I'm not talking about the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. I'm talking about the 620 mitzvahs of the Torah. 613 from the Torah itself, and the 7 mitzvahs derabanan. What was the last formal rabbinic mitzvah that was created? It was the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So it's interesting. If you think about it, in a sense, the bookends of Judaism. It starts with Chiddush, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, and it ends with Chanukah. Our story wraps up as we move towards the ultimate Chiddush, which is the renewal of the world with Mashiach's arrival. You know the reason that Chanukah is such a mitzvah that represents this Chiddush? It's our newest mitzvah. Now, I know it's quite old, Chanukah, but if you think about it, it's the most recent mitzvah ever created. It's the newest mitzvah. It's the last mitzvah given to the Jewish people. So we came out of Mitzrayim with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. At the end of time, Hashem gives us a mitzvah to carry us until we get to Mashiach, a mitzvah of Chanukah, which is rooted, as we're learning today, in the concept of Hischatshus. We come out of Mitzrayim, again, marching to the tune of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Hashem takes us to Har Sinai. We're standing at Har Sinai, and Hashem gives us the Torah. What is the relationship with Torah supposed to be? Torah is supposed to be the freshest thing in the world. A Jew wants to declare his belief in Hashem. He says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's how we acknowledge our belief in the Torah, in Hashem, in a creator. And then we continue to say in Shema, we recite the words, we thank Hashem, to love Hashem with all of our heart and all of our soul. And we acknowledge the fact that Torah is what? The mitzvah that Asher Anochi Mitzavecha Hayom. I'm going to fulfill the words of the Torah that you are commanding me today. Asher Anochi Mitzavecha Hayom. We didn't just get the Torah today. We got the Torah thousands of years ago. What are we supposed to think as we say Shema at least twice a day? Asher Anochi Mitzavecha Hayom. What are we supposed to think about Torah? You know, there's two kelim in the Beis HaMikdash that represent Torah. If I were to ask you, which vessel in the Beis HaMikdash represents Torah? So you'll say the Aron Kodesh, with the Luchos inside. That's true. But what about the menorah? The menorah also represents the light of Torah. Why do we have two different vessels in the Beis HaMikdash that represent Torah? The Aron represents Torah Shebichsav. There are 5,845 psukim in the Torah. We don't add a single letter. We don't subtract a single letter. The Torah Shebichsav is complete from beginning to end. We don't tamper with it. The Luchos in the Aron represent Torah Shebichsav. But the menorah, which was lit on a daily basis by the Kohen Gadol, the menorah represents what? Torah Sheba'al Peh. It represents our contribution to Torah. It's the part of Torah that's always evolving. It's the part of Torah that's constantly renewing itself. And therefore, when we say Shema and we say these words of Torah, Asher Anochi Mitzavecha Hayom, let's review a Rashi in source number 5. Rashi says, yes, the Torah has to be something as if you received it Hayom, today, literally today. Lo yihiyu be'einecha kidiyot gama yishana. The Torah shouldn't be like a system of old laws. Look at the word diotkama. That's not a Hebrew word. It's a Greek word, right? Looks like the word dogma. It's a system of living that is sort of just, it just is. Torah is a Torah's chayim. It's supposed to be alive. It's flowing. Don't let the Torah become ancient dogma, diotkama yishana, she'ein adam sofna, that a person is not attracted to, that a person is bored by, elakicha dasha. Sha'akol ratzin lekrosa. When a Jew wakes up in the morning, we pick up our sitter as if we've never picked it up before in our life. We read the Parsha, not with a sense of, we know that Yosef is going to be sold by his brothers. Let's read the Parsha and see what happens. Maybe Yosef this time won't be sold by his brothers. That sense of hischatshus, to study it in a fresh way. Diyot Gemarashi says, is mitzvah hamelach haba b'michtav. Diyot Kva something that's written down, kind of like the written Torah, which is not changing. It's protected in that way. But the oral Torah, which is what we celebrate on Hanukkah, the menorah, the Kohen Gadol, the relighting of the menorah each and every day represents, again, that evolving relationship with Torah, that Torah's chayim. You know, there's a halacha that we don't eat matz on Erev Pesach, right? Why don't we eat matz on Erev Pesach? Well, we want it to be exciting at the Seder, so we keep it fresh. Some even bring that you're not, some sources tell us, you're not supposed to take a nap on Erev Sukkos, because when you sleep in the sukkah, for those who are able to do so, we want it also, we want the sleep to be b'teyavon. We want to enjoy the sleep. So we want to, you know, we don't want to experience Pesach too soon. We don't want to experience Sukkos too soon. The whole question of reading the Haggadah on Shabbos Haggadah. Some say we shouldn't read the Haggadah because if we study it too much, it's going to be boring by the time we get to the Seder. On Shavuos, we don't have a rule, don't learn Torah on Erev Shavuos, because you want to come to the night of Shavuos when we re-accept the Torah with great excitement, with a sense of freshness, hischadshus. Why don't we have a rule that you can't learn Torah on Erev Shavuos to keep the Torah extra fresh? And the Chassam Sofer writes in Parshas Ekev, because Torah is always fresh. If we have any idea what we're holding, what we're dealing with, what an opportunity we've been given to be given the Torah is never old. The Torah is never boring. Yavon tries to get us stuck in that way of thinking, this ancient way of thinking, that the Torah is old rules. But we have to see the Torah as the most ancient of wisdom, but also a Torah's chayim that's always evolving. Obviously, you all know that very recently the Jewish people lost one of the great thinkers of our generation, one of the great spokesmen of our generation, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And in his book, in one of his many, many books, talk about a person who was always in a state of chiddush, writing and publishing and finding new ways to share old ideas with such clarity and freshness. He writes in Parshas Kedoshim, in his book Lessons in Leadership, an amazing thing. He tells about the danger of people who just follow the crowd. Groupthink and conformism are perennial dangers within any closely knit group. And he talks about different experiments that have been done to prove that point. He says, one of my favorite examples is given by James Surowiecki, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, in The Wisdom of Crowds. He tells the story of an American naturalist, William Beebe, who came across a strange sight in the Guiana jungle. A group of army ants was moving in a huge circle. The ants went round and round in the same circle for 2 days until most of them dropped dead. The reason is that when a group of army ants is separated from their colony, they obey a single simple rule. Follow the ant in front of you. The trouble is that if the ant in front of you is lost, so will you be. Are we just following the crowd? And is the person that we're following, do they have any idea where they're trying to get to? If they do, great. Fall into line. But when we get stuck in that endless cycle of life that doesn't really get us anywhere, as opposed to being able to move forward, like our name Yisrael, Yashar, to move forward, it's interesting, the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, actually, it seems, didn't have rounded branches, as you often see depicted, but as the Lubavitcher Rebbe was fond, and you'll see Lubavitchers are very particular about this, that the menorahs have straight branches, yashar, there's a secret to that. Because the Jewish people, the menorah doesn't represent sort of the circle of life, kind of going round and round, like the army ants that fall into line until they live. But rather, a Jew tries to march forward. A Jew tries to be in a state of ischadshus, of moving towards something. There was a Rosh Yeshiva in Kfar Chassidim in Eretz Yisrael. He passed away in 1981, Rav Eliel Mishkovsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He was a very serious Jew, a very intense Jew, not an outwardly emotional person. And one time, he was at a wedding of one of his students, and he was standing on the side as some of the young Talmidim were dancing, and he started to cry. And one of the Talmidim came over to him and said, Rosh Yeshiva, is everything okay? It was very uncharacteristic. They were not used to seeing him cry. And there's tears streaming down his face. Someone comes over, is everything okay? Is the Rosh Yeshiva feeling well? I'm fine. Rosh Yeshiva, you look very emotional. They thought to themselves, you know, maybe it's one of the older Bachurim in the Yeshiva who finally got married. The Rosh Yeshiva is very happy for him. Maybe he had been dating for a long time. He was having a hard time finding a shidduch. No. So they said, Rosh Yeshiva, what is it? You're watching a simcha, you're watching a wedding, you're watching the Talmidim dance, it should give you the greatest joy, these are your students. So Rav Mishkovsky said to them, he said, you know, I was just thinking. I was watching the circle, at a Jewish wedding, as we're known to do, to dance in a circle. And I was watching the circle go round and round and round and round and round. And the same people just coming around and around and around and around the circle. And they had a big smile on their face. But I started to think to myself, how many people in life, and again, only a real Baal Musar would think like this. But he said, how many people in life are just walking around and around the same circle over and over again? And you know, if you ask them, if you look at their face, they have a smile on their face. There's a sense of contentment. But unfortunately, they're not Yisrael. They're not Yashar. They're not moving forward. They're not living with a sense of Ischachus. And he said, when I was thinking about that, how people unfortunately sometimes fail to move forward in their life, it pained me and I started to cry. That's what he saw in Bachrim dancing at a circle at a wedding. That's what someone saw in the Guyana jungle watching army ants walk in a circle until they drop dead. The Jewish people have to find ways to continue to move forward. Let's learn a halacha. I know we only have a couple minutes left. Let's learn a halacha in Hilchos Chanukah. What type of menorah do you have? Maybe you have a silver menorah. Maybe you have a wooden menorah. We have a lot of menorahs we've collected over the years, Baruch Hashem, from our children. Every year they bring home a different menorah from school, some very cool artistic design. I happen to have a beautiful silver menorah. What type of menorah should a person use? What's the optimal menorah? Well, I'll tell you what's not an optimal menorah. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch in source number 7, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that a ner shel cheres, a menorah made out of earthenware, shehidlik bo laila achas, nase yoshan. If you use a clay menorah and you fill those earthenware, you know, receptacles, those kalim, those vessels, you fill the earthenware, so to speak, cups with oil. So after you used it one time, it's already considered an old menorah. The Mishnah Berurah explains because it becomes very saturated by the oil and it's not pretty to look at. It loses its, and it's hard to clean. You can't really, the earthenware absorbs the oil. You can't clean it. It's a bizoy mitzvah to use an earthenware cup for a menorah more than once. After one night, it becomes yashan. Ve'ein madlikin bo laila acheres. You're not allowed to use it a second night. El lokeach hadashim b'chol laila. If you're using earthenware cups, clay cups, you would need to replace it each and every night. A glass cup, if it gets dirty, you can wash it out. A silver cup, you can wash it out. But if you're using a clay earthenware cup, it becomes ruined after one night. It becomes old a little bit too quick, a little bit too quickly. We all understand what the secret of this halacha is. This halacha is telling us that it would be antithetical to Chanukah to use a menorah that gets old so quickly. Because Chanukah is the Yom Tov that celebrates Hischadshus. It celebrates renewal. We can't allow our menorah to become old after one night. And you know what the deeper message is? You know what a clay cheres is? We're all clay cheres. Adam yesodo me'afar v'sofo la'afar. We also come from the clay. We also come from the earth. And in a certain sense, the neshama that Hashem has placed inside of us is that flame. And it's our job to make sure that it stays fresh. Because if you're not paying attention, it can get old really, really fast. I once met a Jew in Muncie, Reb Benji Brescher. He was a close Talmud of Reb Shlomo Freifeld. He told me one time, I was talking to him, and he said, his Rebbe, Rabbi Freifeld, who passed away when he was 65 years old, Reb Freifeld was the youngest person I ever met. Reb Freifeld was literally, what did he mean by that? He meant he was so youthful. And then he says, I have grandchildren, I have little grandchildren who are older than Rabbi Freifeld. Meaning, they act like, you know, like old schleppy Jews. And my Rebbe, who was a sickly person for much of his later years, was so alive, was so young, was so youthful. Rabbi Nachman used to say to his students, in source number 8, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov said, "Gam ein tov liyos zaken." It's not good to be old. Obviously, halavai, we should all grow to 120. We should live to ripe old age. But don't be an old person. Hein chosid zaken, whether you're a pious old person. Hein tzadik zaken, whether you're a righteous old person. Zaken ein tov. Zaken is not something to strive for. Ki tzarech rak lischadish b'chol yom, lahaschil b'chol eis mechadash. We need to constantly live with a sense of ischadshus, a sense of renewal. That's what it means to be a Jew. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. That's where the story begins, and the Yom Tov of Chanukah is where the story ends and takes us to Mashiach. I heard a story recently about Rabbi Shlomo Twersky from Denver. And because not enough people know about this tzaddik, I wanted you to see a picture of him. I gave you two pictures of him. He's the brother, his more famous brother, who should live and be well, Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky, author of countless books. I'm sure you have some of them in your home. in your dorm room. He was a remarkable person, a big tzaddik. He lived in Denver, Colorado. And I read a story about him. Someone shared with me a story about him recently, and it blew my mind. Okay, you have it on the page in front of you, but I'll tell it to you outside. But I wanted you to have this story because this is the type of story you really have to think about and live with and share with someone else and really read it carefully and try to internalize it. Rabbi Shlomo Twersky was once on a beis din for a prospective convert. Someone was converting to Judaism. And one of the stages of converting to Judaism is that a person goes to the mikvah. So the beis din was overseeing this conversion process, and this ger went to the mikvah, completing his conversion. He comes out of the water. He's a Jew. He's now a full-fledged Jew. Mazel tov, so beautiful. And Rabbi Shlomo Twersky says to him, "Oh, you're a Jew. Now you're a Jew. I want to give you an assignment. Your first assignment as a Jew. What's my assignment? I want you to replace me on the beis din." "Replace you on the beis din? I've been Jewish for 3 seconds. That's fine. I want you to, you join the beis din. You become on the beis din. You sit on the beis din." "Okay, I'll join the beis din." Rav Shlomo Twersky stepped aside, undressed himself, wrapped himself in a towel, jumped into the mikvah, and he said in the presence of the beis din, his newly formed beis din, he said, "Hareini mekabel alai mitzvah satorah kiger shenes gayer." He was so inspired by this person who was converting to Judaism, he said, "I also want to convert to Judaism." Now friends, look at the person on the screen. He looks pretty Jewish to me, no? I mean, who are we to judge? But I would say he looks pretty Jewish to me. Rabbi Shlomo Twersky looks pretty Jewish. But he felt the sense of, but I want to be a new Jew. He was inspired by watching a person renew their relationship or start their relationship with Hashem, that he said, "I want to be a part of that. I want to taste that as well." What does Hashem want from us in this world? Va'ata Yisrael, ma Hashem Elokecha shol meimach. What does Hashem ask of a Jew? The Pasuk in Parshas Ekev, a little Yirah Shamayim, Leches Bidrachav, a little bit of love, a little bit of service, with all your heart, all your soul. Rav Baruch of Mezhbuz, the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, explained, you know what Hashem wants? 2 words. Va'ata Yisrael. You know what Hashem wants from you? Va'ata, right now, I want you to decide for the first time, Yisrael, I'm a Jew. I want to be a new Jew. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar Le'isha Yisraeli, Masha Haya Haya, what you've been until now is done. Rakani Omer Lecha Me'ata, from now moving forward, Yisrael, I'm a Jew. I want to be a new Jew. So I'll end with the words of the Sfas Emes, because we said the Sfas Emes was himself a great Chiddush. And then I want to wish you a Chanukah Sameach like never before. A Lichtige Chanukah. You should experience Chanukah as if you've never experienced Chanukah before. This is not a mitzvah you've ever done before. This is not a Yom Tov you've ever celebrated before. You're about to re-experience something in a totally new way as if you've never experienced it before. Said the Sfas Emes in the year Tafresh Mem. If you look in the Gemara that tells us the story of Chanukah, the Gemara begins by telling us many, many halachos of Chanukah. And when the whole thing is done, after telling us this rule of Chanukah and that rule of Chanukah, then the Gemara finally takes a step back and says, "Oh, by the way, my Chanukah, what is Chanukah?" And almost as an afterthought, the Gemara tells us the story that we started with. The Avadim entered the Heichal and they contaminated the oil. After telling me all the halachos of Chanukah, now you finally wake up and say, "Oh, by the way, what is this holiday, Chanukah?" After it's all said and done, now you ask, "My Chanukah, what is Chanukah?" And the Sfas Emes, who again, his grandfather said, as a little baby in his cradle, this young man is going to be a Chiddush. The Sfas Emes said, "That's right, because after all the laws of Chanukah, and after every book that you've read, and after every shir that you've heard, a Jew comes to Chanukah and still says, 'My Chanukah, what is Chanukah? I still don't know what it is. I want to search it in a fresh way. I want to experience it in a fresh way. I want to think about the miracle in a new way.'" As the darkness of Gullis drags on, another year without a Beis HaMikdash, against that dark backdrop, the light of Chanukah gets a little bit brighter every year. And therefore, after learning everything about Chanukah, the Gemara concludes, "What is Chanukah? I still don't know what it is." That's not a depressing thought. That's the most inspiring thought in the world. I want to consider it again. I want to understand it in a fresh way, in a new way. I want to think about an old Dvar Torah, but in a totally new way. I want to say Hallel each day of Chanukah with a new excitement and an appreciation for the miracles that Hashem does. B'chol yom imanu. That's what Chanukah is celebrating. So I bless all of you. You should experience the Chiddush of Chanukah. You should feel that sense of renewal, that sense of rededication. Ba'ati Yisrael. Be a new Jew. Convert to Judaism. L'chavad Chanukah. And Amir Tashem will be able to go from that HaChodesh Zalachem that took us out of Mitzrayim all the way to Chanukah, that last mitzvah, that chiddush of a mitzvah, which will bring us to that ultimate chiddush with the light of Mashiach b'mehera b'yameinu amen. Thank you all very much for being here, and have a wonderful Yantiv.